The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and my co-host is Christy Matthews, and this episode is part two of polyamory and wedding planning. So last week, if you did not listen to part one, I would suggest you go back and listen now. This is a two-part series or two-part show, however you want to call it, because I did in fact do two separate interviews, one with Dr. Magdalena Fossey to get the clinical terms and information with regard to polyamory, and one with Lara, Cassandra, and Tony, because Cassandra reached out to me quite a while back as a listener with a wedding planning question, and then proceeded to tell me she was in a polyamorous relationship. And as a result, we have these two awesome interviews, and I fused them together. Hopefully it makes sense to you guys. By the way, we got a lot of great feedback last week from you. I'm so, so pleased that you are enjoying this information, this content. It's very unique. It's a bit of a departure from what we normally do, but hey, that's fun. That's life. Let's do things differently, right? Also, before we start, I wanted to mention that I know Christy and I have been talking a lot about our Nashville event that we went to, Modern Love, and all of the interviews that we did while we were in Nashville, of which we did many, and it was fantastic. And I do want you to know that's coming up in the coming weeks. I'm working on editing. The Modern Love event was really, really awesome. It was a great experiment. It was a lot of fun. We even met a few of you listening, so we were super excited to have you there. So stay tuned for that. And other than that, hope you guys are having a great holiday season. Enjoy this episode.
I do want to just give a shout out to anyone. If you know someone who's polyamorous and they just got engaged, your first response to them telling you that they're engaged is going to be and should be, "I am so happy for you," and not, "Oh, what's going to happen to your other partner?" Because that's awful. It feels awful. And that it's happened to me about four times now. And it's so disappointing. They don't.
A place of not understanding, but I see what you're saying.
It's, yeah.
Like, if somebody had a giant zit on their forehead, you don't go, "Oh my God, how did you get that giant zit?" Because that's just kind of rude.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Your first reaction, be happy for them. And then when you have questions, follow up with them. And that would just be so great, because it just, like, what's going to happen to Lara? You're like, it's just, "Oh, what's going to happen? She's just going to spontaneously combust when I say I do." I don't, how do I answer that? It's the same.
I told someone at work that we were just going to kick her out, and they like believed me for half a second. I was like, "No, not really."
No, we love her. Nothing is going to change.
So now what about the weddings?
What about the weddings?
Yes. In parallel to you, I sometimes feel like I'm a wedding planner. Because, you know, I follow, let's say, a couple who is getting married, and then we work together for a year or two, and then that all overlaps with the year or two that they are planning their wedding. So then that's the predominant theme. So, but it's very different focus than what you are offering.
Right.
And, but it hasn't happened yet with poly relationships, with somebody just getting married. So let's say, like, if you are open to your friends, but then there is a wedding, there is a family event, you are invited, but then you can only go with your partner but not invite the other person that you feel very close to.
I was just thinking about that. We get a lot of questions from listeners like, I only have a limited amount of space in the venue and I can't. What about plus ones? Do I have to invite dates? Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, I have three sets of friends who are in polyamorous relationships. What's the etiquette on plus twos or plus threes? Exactly. that's really difficult. That's a whole nother. We're setting up all of these procedures now in the future with regard to polyamorous relationships. Absolutely. Or etiquette on polyamorous weddings. I mean, we might need to start working on that.
And where do you put the boundary? So, because let's say if a person who identifies as polyamorous or non-monogamous and has, let's say, six partners. Yeah. And two of whom are very close, but then the other are present. So do they all are invited to the wedding? And who is to deciding about like the degrees of closeness and then who you can involve and or include or not?
This gives a whole new meaning to the term plus one.
So... talking about the wedding.
So we're getting married next September. Oh my God. Okay. And we're getting married in Uxbridge, Mass at Arrowhead Acres. It is budget friendly. It is great.
What's your budget?
So here's the thing. So technically we don't know our budget yet because my dad has told me he's giving us a quote unquote sum of money and I'm not meeting with him till Thursday. So I don't know what that number is this Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but we know.
Yeah. We know minimum 10,000 between what my mom's contributed and what we are able to contribute.
Plus what dad
gives us.
Okay, then it'll be more.
So
okay.
Yeah. So pretty good. Venue less than $3,000.
What does that entail? What does it come with?
So, it comes with the ceremony space, pictures after the ceremony space, the liquor license for the day, the reception space, which is a pavilion,
yeah.
So no need to rent tents, which I'm in love with.
So if it rains, you have shelter.
If it rains, there's shelter. If it rains during the ceremony, they have a event space. They have another building,
okay,
where they will set up the chairs there and we'll have the ceremony in there if it rains.
And tables and chairs are included.
Tables and chairs are included, and they're long tables, which I preferred.
Yes.
Yes. And I was everywhere we looked, I kept seeing round tables, and I was
parking
like,
there.
I could do
parking.
It. Yep. Parking, and they provide parking attendants.
Included in the price.
Okay.
That's
mm-hmm. The ceremony space is called Chapel in the Pines. It's all these lovely pine trees. It's beautiful. Outdoor ceremony. They clean everything up.
Catering there, or you're hiring a caterer?
We're hiring a caterer.
Full kitchen?
Whoever we want.
They don't have a full kitchen.
Not in the pavilion, no. But we're thinking of doing mainly burgers and keeping it like the food casual. Because I really want a bacon cheeseburger on my wedding day. Like, I'm sorry, but it's happening and I want it. Like, I don't care.
My mom's side of the family is all Portuguese too, so yeah, that's the other half Ecuadorian, half Portuguese. but so like having linguiça burgers or something like that as another one. Yeah, so you think burgers at a wedding, you're like, oh, how, like, whatever, but then you're like, oh no, but we can put a lot of effort into just burgers and we can make them fresh right there, like grill it, because, like, you know, like I said, I'm in the industry and stuff like that, so I know exactly how I want it to go and, like, you know what I want from the caterers and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so they don't have to build a kitchen, the caterers, they could do...
No, we could easily do grills and then, like, cold stuff on the side.
Okay.
And, yeah, for dessert and for our quote-unquote cake, I'm doing pies. I want to do mini pies, and I want a wedding pie.
Yeah.
I like cake. I do, but I'm just not a huge cake fan.
25% of people don't like cake.
I just... Yeah. I'll eat it. It's delicious. I love sweet things, but I love pie. Like, can I get some banana cream pie? Can I get a coconut cream pie? Can we get some blueberry pie?
Pecan pie.
Oh, shout it out. It's just, oh, it's so good. So I can't wait to, like, start the whole catering venture because I'm so excited for the tastings. Yeah. We're foodies. We're excited for tastings.
Yeah, totally.
But it's going to be great. And I love that I can bring in whoever I want for catering because that's so hard to find. It was so hard to find a space. There were so many places that were charging us a Saturday rate for the Sunday. Yep. And then one place had an $8,000 minimum for food. I was like, I'm planning on doing burgers. I'm like, so we started our draft guest list, an A list and a B list because I'm a good listener.
We have like a Bluetooth speaker and she'll put it on right here as I'm like reading or would play video games or something. And we'll just like listen to like a couple episodes at a time.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful. Weird people listen to me. It's fabulous.
It's gonna be weird when people are listening to us.
Well, I know. Yeah, we felt the same way.
That's why I was so intimidated. I was like kind of nervous. I was like, I'm gonna be on like a podcast or something. Like, don't worry, it's fine. I was like, I'm gonna be on the radio.
I'm gonna be on the radio. Right.
We're live. Coming to you live. Yeah. Okay. So wait, how many guests did we say?
On our guest list right now is 112, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, we have about 100 to invite. The pavilion can fit up to 125, but I'd rather stick around 100 with dancing.
Okay. And what are you going to do, band or DJ?
Band. I really hope band. Yeah, I want to. I really want to. I know. I know. But I just know. I just know that if I didn't have enough in my budget for a band, and I was like, Dad, I don't have enough for the band. I just know that he would pull for it because he feels the same way about music that I do. And this, so as I mentioned to you earlier, we've been wedding expo hopping. Yeah. So I've been to about 7.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I Three. Developed a problem. Yeah, it was great though. And the you get so much free stuff. And the first one we went to was the best because they had so much food and they had drinks. And the second day I left and I was definitely a bit toasty off of samples.
I went with her that second day and I was driving. So I had like one drink when we first got there. And by the time we left, when she walked outside, she just started laughing all of a sudden. She's like, I am a little tipsy. And I was like, well, you had like 4 different drinks. So yeah.
Samples. Yeah.
One of those was a full drink.
You're right. But I was really impressed with the bartending services. What can I say? But I think you get to know a lot of vendors that way really well. We found a photographer that way. Like we had a great conversation and you get to know people personally. And I ended up winning my engagement shoot. My engagement shoot is free. I get digital photos for free. Yeah, Lara's going to be there as well. So we'll have pictures, the two of us, and then we'll have some pictures with Lara too.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that like the band is seeming like a good like thing to go for is because we've saved on so many different things that all that money added up, we could probably get the band. You know, I mean, like we haven't sat down with them or anything like that, but they sound so cool.
Well, one thing I really loved about the band, so Tony was talking to one member of the band as I'm like a few feet over. Well, we have one we're really interested in. And what they do is they have a studio space where you go, they can fit up to 30 people. You invite people and they put on a show for you and then you decide if you want them. So that will kind of determine it. But I loved our conversation because he said in the past he's worked with brides that have a vocal background. I did chorus, chorale, vocal jazz, women's choir. I was in Allstate. I was in All Eastern. Like so I did a lot. So I was like, what? Like, what did you say? About go back to that. And my dad and I, like, so my dad and I's song for our father-daughter dance is Unforgettable by Nat King Cole by Natalie King Cole with Nat King Cole. Love it. But we've always had this mixtape in the car and we've always sung it together. So my dad has this idea of being in the audience and me going up and thanking people and then being like, I'm going to start this next dance off with a song and start singing. And then my dad wants to start singing from the audience and then come up and we'll dance and sing together.
No, you can't stop singing. People are going to want to hear you.
Oh no, we'll definitely, like, most of our dancing will be the musical interlude part, but we're going to be singing together.
That's really good because 9 times out of 10, the friggin' song is so long and you're like, people are staring at me dancing with my dad. And so, you know, me, I didn't care. You sound like a very theatrical family. So you probably are like, whatever, watch me, I don't care. But like some people are like, oh my God, when is this in? So I love that. I love the performance side of that. That's a really great idea.
He came up with it. I was so happy.
Aw, he's so excited. So I wanna talk about, because you see people as patients, right, who are in polyamorous relationships. And I'm curious, is it usually 3?
I see individuals and couples, and sometimes, occasionally, I see people in other constellations, so family, like, let's say, broadly speaking, families. And but typically, if my clients who identify as polyamorous, they still come as a couple. So it might be, let's say, the primary couple who is working on their issues related to polyamory, or it might be a secondary couple. So actually, like, as an example, I'm working with a couple where, you know, let's call them a primary partners, and then each one of them has secondary partners. And as it happens, they are in therapy with their secondary partners as well. So they are doing a lot of therapy, but they really want to make it right. And again, usually it's not more than 2 people in my office, but it doesn't mean that the third or fourth person may not join at some point.
So I did want to tell a story that I thought was really hilarious.
Yeah.
In terms of, so I used to work at a retail shop that's like a kitchen supply store. And sometimes I have the assumption that if someone is gay or lesbian or whatever they may be, I assume that they're okay with polyamory. But those are very different things. Because someone can be straight and polyamorous and, you know, et cetera. So there was a guy that I worked with who was gay. And I kind of just assumed that he was cool with our relationship, or he thought it was normal at least. Or he was probably about like 12 to 15 years older than me. So I kind of just had a certain assumption. And we had just gotten a new food processor. And I was telling him about going home and making my dinner. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make this awesome pasta. I'm going to make some arugula pesto. And I'm going to, like, I hope Tony and Lara like it. And he was like, so how does that work? And I was like, oh, it's easy. You just blend it just like you would basil. And it's amazing. But I didn't think that he meant, like, and he's like, no, I mean dinner. And I'm like, What about dinner? He's like, do you guys eat like communally? And I said, no, actually, I serve Tony dinner, and then Lara and I wait, and then after he's done, we sit down and then we eat dinner. And he's like, really? And I'm like, no, we eat together. I serve them both food and we all eat together. And it was very, so sometimes the questions I get, I'm just like, say what now?
Oh, interesting.
So for a long time, and actually to this day, yeah, we talk about doing things communally. Like, oh, did you want to do that communally?
That's your joke.
That's our joke. Like, oh, I was thinking about grabbing a bite to eat. Yeah, did you want to go communally?
Yeah.
Even more complicated is the question of opening up to a wider society. So neighbors or coworkers, because the repercussions actually can be fairly strong. And so many people choose to keep it semi-secret for a fear of repercussions. They don't want to alienate their families, for example. But then it can be painful within their own family constellation.
One of the things that, from my perspective, a lot of people have said, okay, well, what's happening to you? What does this mean in your relationship? You know, they're getting married. What does that mean for you? And I just go, well, it doesn't really mean anything different for me. We're still in the relationship. It's just, as Cassandra said, we're having a celebration of their love. And yeah, we'll have a legal document saying they're married. But other than that, we are what we are still. You know, I've had a lot of concerns on my side of the family. You know, it's taken a while for my mom to warm up to the idea. I mean, she definitely loves Cassandra, and, you know, there was never a problem with me being in a relationship with a woman. It's just the idea of there being another person, whether or not I'm in an actual relationship, quote unquote, with that other person. But I think now that it's been some time, that she realizes a little more what we are and how we've built our relationship on communication, and we're not going anywhere. You know, like, she's a mom. She's concerned for me. She wants to make sure that her little girl isn't going to get hurt, which is a very valid response. And I have told her, you know, I'm trying to validate that. I totally understand. I understand when people look at our relationship and don't get it. Like, yeah, I know. It's different, and it's not, definitely not for everyone. It takes a lot of trust, a lot of openness, a lot of moments of vulnerability that I can't always do either. You know, we've had a lot of tough discussions and conversations, and it's not easy all the time. You know, sometimes our feelings get hurt.
When people in a polyamorous relationship come to you, what are some of the common challenges?
Well, the typical issues within poly relationships are not that different from issues that monogamous couples have. It's always related to, like, what's the issue, what are they working on. But that's more on the conflict side of working through the difficulties. Relationships are complicated. And if monogamy is complicated and there are so many relational issues, you can just imagine, you know, in polyamory, on open relationships, it's just multiplied by hundreds. Interestingly, I talk far more about sex with monogamous couples than I talk about sex with poly couples. In poly community, people will clarified that it's not just sexual connection with others, it's a loving connection. Love is a big piece. And but people don't open up a marriage because they want to be in the loving relationship with somebody else. Again, that's friendships, more or less. They usually open up because they want the possibility of sexual involvement, whether it happens or not, but the desire is there. In established poly couples that I work with, sex is not necessarily the topic that comes up as much. And that's still, like, it's an interesting distinction that it's, that monogamous couples are where seemingly there should be less problems with sex, but actually they want to talk more about it. And in polyamorous relationship, you could imagine that there would be more sexual problems because, as I said earlier, if monogamy is, like, relationships are complicated, so here you multiply it by X. But actually, there is less concern about sex. So that's one of the beauties of a poly community and non-monogamous communities in general. They are highly focused on consensual sex and safe sex. So that's one of the questions I also hear. It's like, what about STIs? The prevalence of STIs is lower in, broadly speaking, non-monogamous communities than in monogamy. Because people are far more careful, and then they talk about it, and they really are very keen on agreements.
Some of our more serious arguments have just kind of been about testing the boundaries of things, like that journey, as I was kind of saying earlier, of knowing or discovering what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with and communicating that to your partner, which is really hard. It's hard to give and it's hard to receive that information sometimes when it's especially in my situation, I have this delicate balance of two people that I love so much. So, when there's conflict, I get this feeling of like this, the dream is over, the fantasy's over. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that's not the case because I feel very secure in my relationships, but you always have that like little voice at the back of your head sometimes. And that happens. But really we've maybe had 2 to 3 discussions like that. That were intense. And other than that, independently, we've had our own issues. Like for me, living with Tony for like 4 or 5 years and then having a woman move in, I'm an only child. Let's throw that out there right now. I'm an only child. So sharing my space and then sharing my space with another female, really difficult. Yeah. But it's just communication.
And like adding to that too, that was one of my big challenges with their relationship is that I am very, like, I grew up with a big family, a bunch of people in the house. I know how to share space, and I'm not, like, particular about really anything. So for me, everything was always cool, you know? But then to watch them have trouble or, like, to see Cass be stressed out, it's just like, okay, how can I help them, you know, better? Because, like, my whole philosophy on, like, you know, our relationship stuff is, you know, it's not so much, like, I want to do something. It's I don't want to be the reason you don't do something. You know, I don't want to hold you back or anything. Like, the go experience life. And if we're making this, like, commitment, I know that when it really matters and when I really need you, you'll be right there. Like, you know.
And for me, you know, also living with Tony is a dynamic that we had to work on, the three of us together. You know, especially at first when, you know, if there were times when Tony and I were alone together, Cassandra would be at work or something. There was originally this kind of tension or dynamic where we didn't really know what to do. Tony and I kind of are very cat-like in a lot of ways. So we kind of have this like stare down, like, what do you do? What do you do? Yeah, we do. We definitely have some similarities there. But we kind of have this like, okay, where are you going? What, how you doing? How's this working? And we've worked it out pretty good. Pretty good, I would say. You know, we found some shows to watch together.
Definitely have a tight cast.
Yeah, she does. She does. And in all ways, it's hard to not feel like people are ganging up on each other sometimes. Like, I try to be very conscious of that. Yeah. Especially Cassandra and I are women. And sometimes Tony does, you know, guy stuff because he's a guy, but you know, every once in a while, like
comments
here and there, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my god, and I roll my eyes and I don't say anything because I'm like, that's their relationship. And so like I have to kind of play this role of like, all right, when is it appropriate for me to say something? And you know, like for any of us, if someone's venting about the other person or whatever, like I'm your friend at that point. Like I'm your friend you're venting to. So I have to try to remember not to, like, I'm also your partner, but I don't want to go back and be like, oh yeah, now we're just going to be mad at Tony all the time. Right, because that's not fair.
How many people do you think go into a polyamorous relationship solely because their marriage they want to stay married, but it's become stagnant or just not fulfilling anymore? I wonder how many people then go into a polyamorous relationship, have a third person, and then after a while realize, like, this isn't what I needed or what we needed, and it became a mistake almost. I mean, do you think that happens, or have you seen that happen?
Unfortunately, I've seen it happening a lot.
Okay.
So the first part of a couple who have been together for a decade or longer, they know each other very well. And when things become stale, it doesn't mean that they become stale in all relationships, but then in those relationships where it happens, and then the stress of life, having children, all of that, perhaps aging parents, all of this piles up. So it affects the couple's intimacy, sexuality. So then they suddenly realize, like, you know, I am not very happy in this relationship. I'm struggling. And 20, 30, 40 years ago, nobody would think about like, well, there is a solution. There is polyamory. They would have an affair. They would cheat. So, you know, there will be some, or they will be just unhappy and then complaining and fighting. And nowadays, that's probably the most common theme that I encounter. So people have been married for a long time, and now the relationship is struggling, and they've heard of polyamory. They have friends who are poly, or they read some articles and then listened to podcasts, and they start reading about polyamory, and it feels like a light bulb going up. It's like, wow, we have a solution. Perfect. Right. Now we don't have to get divorced, because there is still stigma associated with divorce. We can open up our relationship and we can still be married. There is no risk. It looks great on paper. That's not the reality. It's very infrequent that both partners arrive at the same decision of like, you know, I want to be poly. It's typically one person and the other one is on the fence. So, as you can imagine, there is a huge amount of pain that goes into this process of discussing it. Now, let's say they agree that, like, well, we are going to open up. The risks are magnifying, because it's emotional preparedness is until this point is relevant, but then the reality enters, and then so the reality informs of like, well, you know, one person might have more luck in meeting partners than the other person. Suddenly it turns into conflict. Frequently, the person who wanted to open up is realizing, you know, I thought that that's what I want. And I see it more often in the situations where it was a man who wanted to open up and then thought like, well, I just want to have sex with other women. I don't care about relationships as much. And then now they open up and his wife is getting a lot of attention, and then he is not getting the attention that he hoped for, because it turns out that he doesn't find as many women who are interested in just having sex. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So he's now disappointed and wants to close the relationship.
And she's like, wait a minute.
Exactly. I'm having all the attention that I was lacking, and then this is wonderful. I feel attractive again. So she's not interested. And so now, like, a new, much deeper conflict emerges.
Are you guys open, or only the three of you, now that you're in this relationship?
I'll take that one. We're still open, and I mean, even when we get married, I don't think anything will really change, and there's no reason to or anything like that. I mean, all three of us, really. I mean, none of us have really. I mean, I have like I've had like a girlfriend here or there, but like I said, I'm not like, you know, cruising around at night or anything like that. And you know, we have such busy lives and stuff. Like, we're realistic about it, you know.
I was gonna say, like, the feeling of being poly and being open is not something to decide to do or not to do. It's just how we are. So if an opportunity comes up, like, I'm not seeking anything out right now. In fact, I'm looking to like date myself just so I can have some alone time. Like, that's kind of just how it is. I know I'm an only child. I need some alone time. It's okay. But it's something that if a moment strikes, like, I would never want any of us to miss out on that or just know the outcome, you know, that coulda, woulda, shoulda. Like, I want to hear that story.
If you jive, you jive.
Stop jiving.
You're writing a book on this subject. Can you talk about your book a little bit? What is it about, and who's it for? Who are you talking to?
Well, so the book is geared towards therapists, clinicians who are working with polyamorous or non-monogamous clients. And for the lay audience, it might be perhaps too clinical, but then also I'm using a lot of case examples from you know, different stories of people who I've worked with. So not the original story of anyone, but then a mixture, a conglomerate of stories, because there are certain patterns. So the clinical stories are an illustration for therapists to know like what might occur, but then they might be also of some interest for people who are just simply curious and want to read about it. And but it's been a really exciting process, and observing my own reactions, just writing this book, and how my understanding of certain things kept changing because of what I was researching and what I was writing about, and observing my own emotional reactions to polyamory, monogamy. And then I've been going through the whole gamut of emotions of thinking like, this really has something to say, this is great. And it's like, no, this is too difficult, too painful. Like, why doing that? And plenty of emotions in between. So I have no just one way of looking at it, but multiple.
I'm sure a lot of the way you thought were thinking before has evolved now on this journey of writing this book. How long have you been writing the book?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. When is that? Do you have like a date that your goal is for it to be released?
Well, so the publishers usually release new books in the spring of every year. So the goal is to be done and for the spring of 2019 release. Fingers crossed it goes. The Many Faces of Polyamory, A Clinician's Guide, Clinical Perspective.
I really want to thank you, all three of you, for letting me in your home and talking so openly to our listeners about this. And if anyone out there has questions, shoot us an email. I'll send them to Tony and Cass and Lara, and hopefully they'll answer them for you. So yeah, thank you all so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot for having us on the show there.
Thanks, everyone. Go out and plan that wedding.
Thank you. Cool. Do you have any advice for our listeners getting married right now? Any wisdom from a therapist? A clinical psychologist?
Yeah. Don't be afraid of conflict, but learn to resolve it. Resolve it well, with love, with compassion, and with respect. When people are fighting, when they have loud arguments, they really want to be heard. It's just very hard to hear when two people are shouting. Whether they are raising their voices or not, they really want to be heard and known. Within yourself, getting to a place where you can see your partner, truly see, and desire to know this person. Not assume that you do know, but really wanting to learn and embrace.
Drop the mic. Boom. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you coming on again. Third episode with you. I mean, who knew when Lauren told me about you? And anyway, it's been so fascinating, and I've learned a lot from you just sitting here talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Thank you once again to Dr. Magdalena Fossi. Magdalena, we appreciate all of your information on the past three episodes now that you've been on. Cassandra, Tony, Lara, thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home, listen to your story, and share so openly with us. As always, there are many ways that you can get in touch with us. Instagram, follow us at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on Facebook at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. You could tweet us at TBWP Podcast. Email The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. Our website is
thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And you can call us and leave a message with your question. 415-723-1625. And if you would like to become a member and help us out with a little bit of money every month so we can keep bringing you awesome content and doing really awesome things with this podcast, go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. You guys, happy holidays. We love you so much. Thank you. Happy planning. Bye-bye.